Well, let me just loop you with him. How about that? And tell him to call you, but not right now.
That's right. Only you can take calls right now. Nobody else.
Are you recording yet?
I am. As a matter of fact, I am.
Oh, perfect.
You're listening to Live from the News Dungeon, a nondoc.com production.
Hello and welcome to Live from the News Dungeon, a nondoc.com podcast that might need a new name. We're going to talk about that as our final question, so stick with us. We're going to hold tight to the clock today because you don't want time to fly away. I'm Trey Savage. I'm the editor-in-chief of nondoc.com. I'm a poet. I didn't know it. I'm joined with our longest tenured podcast partner, Angela Jones.
Hi guys. I love that opening. I feel so inspired and high energy.
I know. We achieved the hot launch. Yeah,
very hot.
That was good. Later we'll have a hot lunch. I also am joined by Joe Tomlinson, our Edmund Civic Reporting Project journalist.
Yeah. I think I'm our least tenured podcaster here at Nondoc.
No, that's a fact error off the top, Joe.
Oh, there you go.
Because you appeared on the last episode briefly.
Briefly. Not an official guest in an official capacity, but...
Right.
I poked in. I had to give some of the wisdom.
Right.
On that last one.
You told everybody the Trey Savage rule of number one rule of journalism. And our least tenured podcast guest, our brand new, exciting development director, Tara McMillan Hall.
Yeah, don't try to take that title away from me again, Joe. least tenured, Tara McMillan Hall. Happy to be here with this crew. I'll bring the low energy. To counter the high energy across from me.
Yeah, we're going to find out how well dry humor does on this podcast today. Tara, is just get a dustpan and a broom, Joe, because she's going to dry humor us into a giggle fit. And speaking of giggle fit, Angela Jones, I need you to kick off our intros. So the reason we're here, we are in the lofts in downtown Edmond. Thank you to Robert and Lori Black for letting us record this podcast here. Bryce Holland is our audio engineer as always. And Angela, we're going to kick off our intro. We're here in Edmond to talk about the Edmond Civic Reporting Project that Nondoc launched in, I guess, really officially early 2022 after the Edmond Sun closed. We'll talk about that more. But we're going to tell that origin story. But first, Angela, I wanted to ask you about your Edmond origin story. You went to high school.
I did.
Here in Edmond. You were born in Pocahontas, Arkansas.
That's true. That's not Edmond.
But
I then came here by way of many other places. And I did go. I'm a Bulldog. Edmond Memorial. Go Bulldogs. Ref?
Yeah, there you go. And did you go to, go on. What else did you worked at the little theater in Guthrie?
And, I did.
And
I
then
did.
You, and the Pollard Theater. Went on weird dates in abandoned.
Okay, let's not bring the dates into this. I don't know. So listen, I wouldn't say that I was a classical high school student, and I don't know if I really should get into much of my Edmond shenanigans in this podcast.
Okay.
But I definitely don't want to bring the weird abandoned orphanage dates into the podcast.
Yeah.
They might be listening.
I think who?
They are.
The ghosts and
who
the
is
dates.
They? Yeah. Sounds ominous.
Yeah. Well, Angela is our operations manager. She's been with us since 2019.
Pretending to be respectable.
Right. She runs our payroll and keeps the books and does our taxes, which
We need to do our taxes.
Everybody should do their taxes. It's March 22nd. Here we are in the morning of a Friday. And we are going to talk about this Edmond podcast, this Edmond effort we are doing. Joe, introduce yourself real quick. Then we'll have Tara introduce herself, her background, and then we'll jump into it.
Yeah. Well, I'm Joe Tomlinson. I think I've made the Edmond pitch to probably everyone I've ever come across in this town in the last 2 years, but I'm Nondoc's Edmond guy. I've covered Edmond for, I guess, about 2 years now, covering city council, Edmond's public school board, any sort of nonsense that goes on with legislative leaders that's happened before. It's been really good time. I've met a lot of great people here in Edmond, and really there's a huge need for what we do. And so it's been great to kind of meet folks and help fill that need over the last couple of years, and hope to keep it going.
Yeah. So Joe does a great job, you know, telling the truth and bringing things to light and then standing there and getting glared at in public meetings by people who are, you know, temporarily unhappy with, you know, something he reported.
That's about
like,
right.
2 weeks later, they're like, oh, hey, Joe, good to see you again.
There you go.
Fourth Estate Joe. So, that's his nickname at the city council, Fourth Estate Joe Tomlinson. So thank
that's
you
specifically for, Councilman Moore.
Right. And shout out to old BK. I think the thing that's great about our Edmond effort is that you are able to do community journalism at sort of that granular level that really looks into issues that we cover typically at non-doc at a state level, right? Whether that's education, whether that's a topic like housing, which we're going to talk about a little bit more, mental health, whatever that might be. The Edmond Reporting Project allows us to look at like, you know, an individual community and see, okay, drill in where, how do these issues play out? What are the effects? And it kind of ties into our broader coverage. But that said, we're here because we are in the middle of a fundraising campaign to try to keep this project going. We do pay you, you know, not as much as we'd like to, but we pay you. And we need folks in the Edmond community to step up either as sponsors or donors. And that's why we hired Tara McMillan Hall in October of last year. You've been around for five and a half months now, and we're really thrilled to have you on board. Tell us kind of where you came from, how you joined the team, and then we'll jump more into the effort.
Well, let's see. I came from a little place called Lost City outside of Tahlequah, Oklahoma, in Cherokee County. But I moved to Edmond actually in 1997 for college and have really lived in this area of Oklahoma longer than I ever lived in Cherokee County now. But really happy to be here. I've been in nonprofit fundraising for about 15, 16 years now. And, you know, I feel like this is probably one of my most important roles at the supporting the work that we do here at NonDoc. And we are in a campaign and we're so close to the end of it. Actually, we have about $3,500 left to go to meet our matching goal.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
The Kirkpatrick Foundation has generously offered to match up to $20,000. So we're almost there. We just need a little bit more. I'd love to wrap it up by the end of March. Of course, our fundraising is not over at that point, but this campaign will wrap up and then we'll move on to the next.
Well, see how when you're a podcast host, you always want to interrupt your development director naming a foundation that's a donor. And it's important to you interrupt that, cut off the stream of consciousness.
Is that Trace's first rule of podcasting?
Great that's job. Right, apparently, yeah. That's what I'm so good at.
Congratulations.
Okay, so we've heard Angela's Edmond origin story, a little bit of Joe's Edmond origin story, and Tara's Edmond origin story. I don't have an origin. I just host and interrupt people. But I want to tell the origin story of our Edmond Civic Reporting Project. And it was really born out of this concern for the loss of local community journalism. And this is happening around the country, but you know, also in Oklahoma. And in May 2020, in the start of the pandemic, CNHI, Community Newspaper Holdings Incorporated, a company for which I used to work, my first journalism job at the Norman Transcript, they closed the Edmond Sun, which was the state's oldest newspaper. It was right downtown here, just a block or so away. And it left a big vacuum, essentially, in the local news landscape. And we felt like if the fifth largest city in the state of Oklahoma doesn't have a civic-focused you know, newspaper, right? Like somebody who has a reporter who's actually at the council meetings, who's doing deeper journalism, that's going to be a civic crisis at some point, right? And how do we expect there to be a statewide informed citizenry, informed voters, if we don't have that in, you know, such a large and even affluent community, right? I mean, it's not like there's not resources here in Edmond.
Absolutely.
So that's how that came about. We did a mayoral debate in early 2021. And I think of those of us here, I know Angela made a face because like who thinks it was 3.5 years ago, right?
Or
whatever. But we did a mayoral debate and we did it at UCO. And afterwards, we had a conversation like in the lobby outside the venue, right?
Right.
And you were there, and Warren Veith, our board chairman, a longtime journalist, Mike Duncan, a board member who is also a photographer and an attorney. And we kind of had this discussion of, okay, do we think this is a good opportunity for us. We know it's a void that needs to be filled. Is this a good business opportunity as a nonprofit, right? Do we go? Because at that time we didn't really do granular local government coverage beyond sort of Matt covering the city of Oklahoma City and kind of what's going on with county government. And so, you know, we thought, does that make sense? And I think we decided, Angela, it did. What do you remember from that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk because it's finding that balance between, you know, we have bills to pay and payroll. And so we have to make good choices that keep us sustainable in a business sense. But our mission is about serving the state, serving the people, serving the local communities. And because this is a really important town. This is a really important city. What is it? The sixth largest?
Yeah, fifth largest. Fifth depending, you know, flip a coin.
Okay. Yeah. But there's just a lot of families here. There's a lot of people that need information about where they live. And part of our mission is believing that this information is easily accessed by everyone. And so it was... yeah, a big decision. It was, you know, this is our mission and this is how we want to serve. How can we make it work?
But obviously, as you noted, you know, you have to make business decisions that are sustainable financially.
Correct.
So we were able to kind of jump into this because of support from a group called Report for America. If you haven't heard of that before, it's sort of like Teach for America. It helps get journalists, mostly young journalists, right out of university to join the Report for America core, I guess. And so we applied. We got approved as a host newsroom. Joe, let's tell your origin story with this. You started as an intern with us in 2021 in the summer, and then you wound up also applying to RFA. They matched us because you were already in our newsroom, mm-hmm. and they provided, just so people know, 50% of base salary, so not taxes, not benefits, not mileage reimbursement, none of that, but they provided 50% of base salary, and then it stair steps down over 3 years to zero. So we're approaching that over the next year. And that's why we need to kind of make this a sustainable deal. But talk about your application to RFA, your experience with Report for America and kind of onboarding really to start 2022 in this position.
Yeah. I mean, Report for America, I mean, I have really enjoyed, they're really, for the most part, pretty hands-off. I mean, if you can be as involved as you want, they have some great trainings every week or so. There was one I just went to on campaign finance. They really have good mentors around. They have like a mentorship program that you can actually work with another reporter who's more experienced. And I think they do just a really wonderful job. I've had nothing but a great time in RFA.
One of the only requirements is you have to do like a community service project. And so your project has been.
Yeah. I've worked at Edmund Santa Fe High School every week. Not this week because we're on spring break. But
Spring break.
But yeah, working with those kids every week. I mean, it's interesting to kind of see what the next generation of, and it seems weird because I'm young myself, but I think just even that gap of between, you know, 16 and 17 year olds and me turning 25 next month is like, you can already see that gap of just, you know, they're a lot smarter than I was back then. I mean, they're a lot more,
really,
they're a lot more, you know, they work well with technology a lot better than I did, of course. And so it's just interesting to see kind of what their values are just being as young as they are.
And you work with the journalism class in particular?
Correct. Yeah. Work, each day with them. Shout out to Miss Beret. Wonderful teacher. So yeah, it's been wonderful to do that. And it's really been fulfilling. I mean, I think each week, I mean, you know, being a journalist, you can work long hours and you can, you know, slam your head against a wall trying to, you know, figure out things and blah, blah, blah. But to actually work with students every week who, you know, don't want to write about city government and they want to write about, you know, whatever makes them feel good and whatever is happening in their high school. And
Pop-Tarts? Toe licking?
Not just yet.
Peanut butter? Okay.
But I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Joe. That's so great. I love that you're working with them in that way.
Yeah. No, it's truly, like I said, it's probably my favorite part of the week. Mm. I mean, genuinely, like it's like a palate cleanse.
Yeah.
After,
you know?
All I heard is that Joe likes high school students more than us.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. And frankly, as a bulldog, Angela, I'm surprised that you're enabling his support of the Wolves.
Well, as I said, not really a classical high school student. Didn't actually graduate. Ooh. Kind of had other things that felt more important to me at the time, like Pop-Tarts and toe licking. So.
Okay. Wait, did you lick toes?
I just said it. I don't even know what that means.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there's a scandal. There's a scandal right now. Anyway. stay with us as we pursue censorship. Okay, no. So we're going to start a new component of this podcast because we always are loquacious and we run long. We're going to set a timer for 15 minutes. We're going to talk about the content of the Edmund Civic Reporting Project. And then we're going to talk for 15 minutes about the money, the finances, the sustainability of a community journalism job. And so I'm going to hit the timer.
It's a loquacious lockdown.
It started at 19 minutes.
It knows how much time you really want.
How can I not even? That's terrible. Why would it do that to me?
Is technology failing you, or are you failing technology?
I don't know. I can't. I'm going to have to start up.
To work our phone.
I'm starting up now. I went with stopwatch instead of timers. Okay. Well, on that note, I guess the high schoolers are better at technology than we are.
No doubt.
Let me look at my notes. It's all right. Great, Joe. Let's talk about the content of journalism in Edmund. I think philosophically, all of our journalists try to pair that sort of day-to-day, week-to-week coverage, you know, being present, chronicling that first draft of history about here's the action that was taken, here's the, you know, whether it's an election, whether it's a council vote, education, whatever it might be, with doing longer feature stories. People love to say investigative journalism, you know, you're just sitting there, you know, scratching your head with a pencil and just digging into papers.
Yeah, real shoe leather stuff. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, we try to pair that a little more than maybe, you know, every nonprofit journalism group, right? So tell us a little bit about what you've done, how you approach your job, and things that have stood out to you over the last year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, I think just being the difference in Edmund is being present. I mean, you think about all the time we talk about just filling the void of journalism and knowing that a city of nearly 100,000 people don't have somebody that they can look to on a consistent basis and find out news or what's going on with their city council or what action's being taken. And so I think that's step one, you know, is being there, is being present, being, because I mean, so many stories, I mean, you know this as well as anybody, Trace, just being present is half the battle. I mean, just being around at the right time for some vote to be made or for some comment to be made that can completely fundamentally, you know, change what you're doing in your story and whatever. And so that's the first step is being present. And then what comes after that is records requests into things that are weird or seem odd, or I just simply want to know more about. And that kind of builds into these feature stories, I think. I mean, when we talk about, big project that or big story that I did on kind of the homeless sort of landscape in Edmund. And it was just, it always just came across as odd to me just seeing so many different names on the booking report come up that are homeless. I mean, folks just getting arrested on a weekly basis here in the city for realities that reflect living on the street. I mean, so often these are things that can't be avoided often.
And that was a story you did in February of 2023. Let me tell the headline out there. The headline is, quote, "You are not welcome. Without shelter, resources limited for Edmund's unhoused." And you really used that observation you had just looking at booking reports to determine that over, I'm trying to look for the statistic, over a year, there were, you know,
I believe it was 288 arrests of around 100 homeless people experiencing homelessness in a year. And to think, you know, I think Edmund's point in time count had 13 or so people.
Right.
So you think they counted 13 people. I mean, again, PIT counts are just something that they're just a data point on one night.
Right.
So, I mean, they're used really to keep track of the people that they have, that they can keep track of. But often they're not meant to be super accurate.
Right. So the point in time count in Edmund said a dozen or so homeless people. And then you found in 2022 that, just by looking at booking reports, there were 131 people arrested by EPD that self-identified when it, you know, came to address, they self-identified as being homeless or unhoused. And of those 131 people, there were 288 arrests in a year. And so you went and pulled some of those reports, you got some body camera footage, and that quote that's in the headline, "You're not welcome," is about an individual who had been arrested 4 or 5 times himself, had some mental health issues, and there's not real there. What you kind of highlighted was there's not a shelter here. At the time, there wasn't even really a behavioral health, you know, crisis level right. clinic mm-hmm. here, which is actually later going to change like later today. So tell us how, like, February 2023, now 13 months later, you know, how do you keep track of these things? Because I mentioned chronicling that first draft of history as an important component of content. And actually, there's also an element like of trying something you did to help get the Edmund Sun archives put back online, because there was just this void when that website went down. How do you find out what happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago?
Right. Well, I mean, and like I said, just being present. I mean, when you're present and available at everything, then you can call back to things previously and say, hey, well, this happened at a council meeting 6 months ago, and you can pull from there. And so it's interesting to think with that specific story, the homelessness piece, I mean, that was over at Edmund Church of Christ, which is, you know, just half a mile from where North Care's temporary location would have been. So had that happened, had that interaction happened just months later, they could have had a temporary location that they could have taken this man to, but it just hadn't opened at that point yet. And of course, now later today, they've got their permanent location over at 15th and Kelly that's going to be opening, and that'll be the first certified behavioral
health center.
Yeah, health center in the city, which allows people of all, you know, it doesn't require you to have insurance. It doesn't require you to have any sort of payment plan ready to go. And those are largely funded by federal grants.
And NorthCare is a great organization. Worked closely with them when I worked in healthcare. Tara, we're going to talk about our time working in healthcare a little bit, I suppose. But to your point, Joe, like being present, we're actually going to pop by that grand opening on our way back. Mm-hmm. We carpooled up here. We live in the same neighborhood. So, I made tacos too.
There we go.
Make tacos.
Yeah. Good morning.
Anyway, Tara, Angela, what questions do you guys have? As somebody who like watches Joe's content, you know, and Tara, in journalism, right? Like the fundraising is based on people reading the content. No one's gonna donate if they don't read, if they don't follow. And so, what questions might you all have for Joe?
You know, I just want to say I love everything that you just shared, and it reminds me of like a farmer planting the crops, and then you get, you know, eventually you get the harvest, but you have to show up and do the work. And it just makes me, you know, I'm a part of the organization that, yeah, pays the bills and works with payroll and gets the insurance squared away. So I'm not always, you know, privy to all the things that are going on with the journalists. And I just love what you shared, because it's a beautiful story of, yeah, showing up and just being there and putting that work in. And I don't know, you know, for everyone listening, just kind of knowing the backstory of the big story, mm-hmm. you know, it's really special. So thank you for sharing that. How does it make you feel to see things kind of come together or come to fruition?
It feels really fulfilling. I mean, I think all the time, like I said, at the Emma Democratic Women's Association the other night, it's really fulfilling to, like you said, kind of plant those seeds and kind of see it come together. You know, I think all the time reporters, we talk about like how difficult like the hours can be. And sometimes your folks will send you mean emails and tell you mean things. And really, I don't think I deal with that as much. I think a lot of folks in Edmond truly reach out to me and they thank me for what I'm doing. And it's always a positive interaction. I mean, of course, it depends on what I'm writing about. Of course, there will always be people in your inbox being mean and, you know, doing whatever. We had a nice person give us some feedback on the housing series that just came out just
yesterday.
Yeah,
that was so I'm going to get into our favorite Google Doc. It's our praise board and mean tweets board.
I need to go put something on the praise board.
We got it. Yeah. So we started. This is an idea I had at the American Press Institute Mental Health Summit last August, I think it was. And somebody mentioned it, just like be more intentional with your praise and your feedback for people. We already had a mean tweets document, so just people saying crappy things about non-doc or usually me. But we turned it into a praise board and mean tweets. So let me start with the mean tweets from yesterday. We just had this housing series that you and Matt Patterson, another non-doc journalist, have been working on for months.
Yeah.
You had one story in particular that kind of compared Edmond, Norman, Shawnee, different situations for like mid-sized, you know, cities in the region. But an individual wrote in response to the newsletter yesterday, quote, "Dumbest, most ignorant storyline and waste of resources the non-doc has ever done."
Oh, the non-doc.
"Thanks for wasting our valuable time." So I don't know what his concern was on us talking about housing and homelessness and affordable housing issues.
I think you've got a new quote to go on your masthead.
Yeah, which is what? "Thanks for wasting our valuable time." Yeah.
We're going to put it on some merch.
Yeah. And then but 3 days earlier, we had the opposite. Tara, you wrote on the board, Joe, you spoke to the Edmond Democratic Women's Forum or group or
association.
And, you know, we're not political. Non-doc is short for non-doctrinaire. The idea journalists should be open-minded, but we want to come talk to any group. So, you know, if the Oklahoma County Republican Women's Association is listening and they want to have you come talk to them, you'll be there.
Absolutely.
So we wrote that the notes were, "Joe received a very loud and enthusiastic round of applause from the Edmond Democratic Women's Association at their meeting. They also lined up to meet him and thank him for his work. He's got fans, y'all." Ooh. So there we go. And then back in...
the ladies love Joe.
Well, it's the mustache, right?
That's right. That's right. At least somebody likes it, you know?
You're the Tom Selleck of journalism.
The Tom Selleck of journalism. That's Bryce Holland. If you're not familiar, he's our audio engineer. He mostly is here to help with our worldwide wrestling entertainment
and fact checks
project. Yeah, that Angela, be on the lookout for that. If you're not familiar with Non-Doc, we cover the state capitol a lot, do a lot of important legislative coverage, and also compare politicians to professional wrestlers. So, final thing from January 22nd, I have on the praise board. Joe got a wonderful shout out from Sherry Holtner on the Around Edmond blog. She said, "First, I want to just recognize Joe Tomlinson of Non-Doc Media for his relentless coverage of civics and school board happenings with EPS this year. He's doing an exemplary job, and I just thought that should be mentioned." So compared to that other fellow from yesterday. And then on December 29th, I guess it must have been warm, I wrote, "Non-Doc contributor and retired OKCPS teacher / gadfly John Thompson, who's my neighbor, interrupted my game of horseshoes across the back fence to tell me he had not previously read Joe's EPD and Edmond homelessness stories in full before, and he was struck by the importance. He said it was really swell work."
That was
great. Thank you, John, for that kind comment that you did not know would be broadcast. As we wrap up this content section, we've got 3 minutes. Joe, tell us a little bit about that Edmond Police Department investigation story that you did. It sort of came about, it was a moment like 6 months in, or you know, 7 months into this project, where we got an anonymous letter. And just to be clear, like most of the anonymous letters y'all send are just terrible. This one was like some printed emails.
Yes.
Between leading officers in the Edmond Police Department. And when I opened it, I was like, okay, it was like a little bit of validation. Like somebody's watching and they recognize that we're doing good work and they're trusting us by giving us this tip. And so the first thing we did, Joe, is we went and met with the city attorney and we requested the emails.
Right.
Because anybody could fake anything and send it to us, right? So we had to try to prove, are these the emails? And they wouldn't give us the emails.
Right.
But we had a meeting and we basically handed them the emails and said, this is your chance to tell us that these are not real. And they didn't tell us that. They can, you know, essentially affirm that they were real. And it, you know, without getting into a lot of names about, you know, who's involved, let's talk about like how the story unfolded and what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the contents of the letters, I mean, they really detailed a lot of allegations of workplace misconduct and kind of sexism and racism within the department. To fellow officers. And so it jumped off. I mean, those emails, they kind of jumped out at you. It was really just surprising to receive, too. I mean, and we still to this day, I mean, I think we've got some idea of where it may have came from. But I mean, we don't know who sent those emails. I mean, it came forward and we were able to speak to Major Wise about just basically his experience.
He was the one who had sent the emails making sort of the allegations.
Right.
And he ultimately left the department and became a police chief in Kansas. And it was really interesting timing, right? Like the city confirmed that an investigation had been launched. They'd hired an attorney from Phillips Murrah. There was no contract, which was fascinating.
Right.
And they were paying $100 and some dollars of
$295 an hour.
Oh, $295 an hour. That's pretty good. And so, you know, there was, I think, really a lot of interest. Is that a duck? Is there a bird quacking?
I hope so.
I think we're all hearing that.
I was just like, what is somebody's like?
Are you recording everything?
No, what is this? Now I'm getting a voicemail.
Yeah, it does that now.
Does it do that now?
Yeah.
It reads the get a fresh start for tax program. All right, anyway.
Stay on target.
The duck really threw things for a loop. We may have to edit that. All right, so the city confirmed. It was a city duck. The city knew that we were going to reveal this story here, and they just sent their interrupting duck to come uninterrupt the podcast. Basically, we tried to give them the grace to say, okay, well, let us know, like, when is this investigation has been going on for a year?
Mm-hmm.
When is this going to be concluded? The calendar turned to 2023. We still hadn't heard anything. We finally said, okay, look, we're going to do this story. Wise had now confirmed he was leaving. So he was going to talk to us the day after he left the department and moved to Kansas. And we alerted the city, because we try to be responsible and mm-hmm. nice, that we were going to run the story in the morning. And suddenly at 10 p.m., the investigation has been concluded. You know, now the investigation has been concluded on like a Tuesday night at 10 p.m.
Right. Yeah. Did they just so happen to complete the investigation just hours before we were publishing this?
Right. Yeah.
Who knows?
Very
right. Obsessed. And so, and again, it was, you know, they really wouldn't say anything. So we published the article, and then, you know, the situation unfolds further, right? Where it's like, okay, now what were the findings? Right. And it's, you know, they haven't said what the findings are, and all we were able to report back in July of last year was in a headline said, quote, handle things internally. Edmund leaders mostly mum on deputy police chief investigation. They basically kind of confirmed that, yes, there were some findings. We're going to do some trainings around city for all city staff, some sensitivity trainings, maybe.
Right. Yeah. I think the sensitivity around the word DEI is really strong here. Mm-hmm. But I mean, customer service trainings, I think, is what they were referred as.
What we were kind of told on background from even hinted at from a lot of different folks was that once the investigation began, it wasn't just one. Now there were allegations back regarding the person who had, you know, made the initial allegations. There were other allegations against other people.
Right.
Sort of what we heard through the grapevine was that it became this bigger conversation about, like, what is the workplace culture within the city of Edmond and all that. Mm-hmm. So I say all that. We don't want to, you know, we've got to move on, because I think we've now, because of the stinking duck, we're way over 15 minutes.
And within the police department specifically, I think is kind of what we had heard. Just that there was maybe some workplace issues that were kind of growing as this investigation went on. So, I mean, of course, I've on background, as we said, so.
Yeah, and we want to just let people know, like, one of the stories that we never talk about things we're going to do, but now I'm going to put it on this podcast show to make sure we do it, right? Like, we've got to get more answers about, like, what have they done? What is the training? So there will be some records requests we put in to try to figure that out, right? I mean, we're, you know, and it's really just because I think the public deserves to know, well, if there was a problem that was serious about this, what action has been taken to remediate that, to improve the culture?
Right, right. You know, and there's $213,000 was what they paid for that investigation.
I mean, right, and that's just the investigation. What did they pay anything for these trainings? Did they bring people in? What actions have been taken in that regard? So there's a million things you're going to cover. Let me plug the Edmond email, which comes out on Tuesdays. You can go to nondoc.com, nondoc.com, and click the newsletters/SMS list. You can sign up for Joe's Edmond email. You can get text messages of his Edmond content. And yeah, Joe, thanks for your hard work. There's a million other things we could talk about of in course. The content, but we are over time. Cue the duck. Okay.
The duck didn't work. Didn't you hear that siren?
Yeah, they're after the duck. The duck's on the lamb. Okay. So let's, as we transition to the second 15-minute segment, which I won't be able to do because it's still trying to count down from 18 minutes. Our second 15 minutes, let's talk about the money, the development. How do we sustain this sort of journalism job? And Tara, that's kind of why we wanted you to be on this podcast, because you're still getting your feet wet with what we're doing, you know, in terms of all the grants we've got going on, annual fundraisers. We just did a Sunshine Week happy hour at Frenzy Brewing. Shout out Frenzy Brewing Company. This is a great time. Had a couple delicious beers. Had a slice of Empire pizza afterwards. And so, yeah, let's talk about, you know, just on a 30,000-foot level, let's talk development and what you've kind of learned so far, applying your background and skills into a journalism type, just a journalism organization. Or journalism-ish.
Adjacent?
Journalism.
We have so many good t-shirts coming out of this podcast.
Yeah.
Quack. I think one of the first thing that... you know, I really had to wrap my head around in journalism nonprofit. Our sources of income are solely based on donations. Like, we don't take any government money at all. So we really have to have a product that people want to consume, and not a product that is, you know, just getting clicks, but that people really come to rely on for, you know, good and fair information. And I think that one thing that I was struck by when I attended the event with Joe at the Edmond Democratic Women, there were people that were showing up, you know, with their donations in hand because they had come so much to rely on the service that he was providing to the people of Edmond. And then there were the people that it's like they had discovered a treasure, you know, at the end of his talk. And like, how did I not know, you know, about this? So it was really exciting to get to share and talk to people that were new readers, but also that have been loyal consumers of the Edmond email for so long. But so back to our sources of income. I mean, we have sponsorships, we have individual donors, we have private grant donors, and that's where our income comes from to fund everything within our organization. So we have a lot of opportunity for growth, especially in Edmond. The residents of Edmond have been very generous. We just hope that we can grow on that momentum. I'll tell you that I think our biggest growth opportunity are individual monthly sustaining donors. We have about 170 right now. I would love to more than double that by the end of the year. Even if you're giving $5 a month, it is important for our budgeting and for our cash flow to know that that income is, you know, there and will be there each month. And I think another big opportunity, especially in Edmond, adding to our Edmond sponsors.
Yeah, for the email, mm-hmm. you know, for our text program, whatever that might be. You know, if you're a business and you can, you know, align your branding with, you know, the idea of access to information, you know, it can be $500. It can be $1,000 for a year, right? We know mm-hmm. that not every local business can drop major dollars, right? But every little bit helps. And we kind of, you know, can proportionally make sure that folks' support is known and aligned with, you know, things that we're trying to do. You said, Tara, that, you know, monthly donors matter, and $5 a month, you know, $60 a year. We have people who give $100 once a year. That's more, right? But whatever you want to do, we will meet you, you know, where you are. If it makes sense that you do one donation a year, that's great. If setting it up on our website to bill $5 a month to you, if that makes sense, that's great. But this is an issue around the country. I was at the Knight Media Forum last month in Miami with, you know, some really top level journalism industry leaders talking about this. And on the one hand, it was really validating that these same questions and issues and needs are faced all over the country, right? But there was a comment that was made about how do we, if you look at your, who has a subscription to like Hulu or YouTube or Apple Music, right? We've got hands, by the way, this is a podcast, hands are going up, right? We live in a world now where people, it's very common for people to have 3, 4, 5 subscriptions for what we would call media, right? Whether it's a streaming service, whether it's a sports package, whether it's a movie service, whatever that would be, right? Cable. And, you know, I think a lot of people look, there's like commercials about this. Like I looked and look at how much money I'm spending a month on all these different things. I've got to pare it down, right? And yet we don't have a culture developed yet in this sort of modern nonprofit journalism landscape that, hey, in my mix of media to which I subscribe, I'm going to put local independent journalism in there for $5 a month. We're cheaper than Hulu, by the way. We're cheaper than YouTube, right? And so how do we have that conversation with people? Because on the one hand, asking for money is like the worst part of our job, right? Like, Joe, you've had to do that a little bit. It's nothing that you didn't learn that at the Gaylord College at OU, right? So, you know, what is the most awkward... And the great thing though, Joe, is that with Tara, with Angela, with Megan on our team now, you don't have to do a lot of asking for money. Right. On the other hand, sometimes in our newsletters and things like that, like it's your voice. Like people want to know who their journalists are. It's not just so much, oh, it's a nameless individual behind a website branding. Like they want to know Joe, you know, and that's why it's so important to go to those events and be present. So what's been your observation as we try to raise money?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's not something I've been taught or anything like that. I like you said, it's the worst part of our job in many ways. Because, I mean, we've all got budgets in our personal lives as well as business budgets. But it's difficult to say, hey, you should fork over this much for independent nonprofit journalism, for my salary. And it, really, we've been lucky enough that folks have been so gracious and... So I really have, I think it's been better than 2 years ago. It was really tough because people didn't have any idea who I was. I mean, we were really pitching the project and coming in and saying, hey, I'm a reporter who does this. And, you know, they think they see a reporter come in every few months whenever something juicy is on the agenda and nothing else. I mean, sure. And I think that was probably how they perceived me when I first came in. It's like, you know, they see reporters come in and come out. And, you know, if there's something more interesting in Norman, you know, in 2 weeks, then that reporter will be in Norman. But to be there every 2 weeks and really show your face and say, hey, I'm here no matter what's on the agenda. And I'm always going to be present and trying, mm-hmm. and I'm dedicated to this community, which I think is different in a lot of modern journalism landscapes. There's not really dedicated reporters for locations as much anymore. I mean, often you see them dedicated to beats like education or criminal justice or, you know, race and equity, those sorts of things. And so those don't have true locations where, you know, you've got to be every day to really be a good reporter and really chronicle all the happenings.
Right. And I think that you can do all those topics, right? But like, to your point, you have to be present in a place. It's one thing to cover a topic and move around. It's another thing to cover a place, mm-hmm. and dive into a bunch of different topics. And one thing I think is people don't realize, and I don't ever, I mean, I've never actually done a granular community journalism job like you have, right? I mean, as an editor, I've sort of helped guide you with that, but you go to a lot of city council workshops. Okay. So these aren't even like,
wow,
the meetings, right, where things are voted on, but these are the places where the conversations start, and something that's in their public meetings, right?
Yes, yeah.
But a conversation starts, things are said in a workshop, because how many people are in a workshop? 5?
Oh, gosh, me and city staff members, you know?
Right. And so you're at that, like, level where there's a little more, you know, it's not being live streamed. Well, sometimes it is.
It is, actually. Yeah, the workshops are live streamed.
But you're able to get comments there that then appear 4 weeks down the road in an article you're doing about something else. So it's just that, back to that being present, people don't realize that it's not just that you go to the city council meeting every Monday, every other Monday, right? Mm-hmm. You're also at the workshop events, other city boards and commission events,
right?
Where you get those relationships, you get those conversations afterward. I think I cut you off nearly, Angela.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, everything that you're explaining, Joe, it's so the money that non-doc receives is the outcome. It is the symptom, and the cause is the service and the value that non-doc provides to the readers and that you provide to the readers. And Trace has always been good at this as well, setting up non-doc with a really service mindset and integrity and offering value, mm-hmm. and then kind of just praying or hoping, throwing chicken bones, that the money would come. and it has started to trickle in, and that gets faster and faster. And so, you know, I just see it as the initial, you know, goal, the initial focus is that the mission of serving and offering value, and then the outcome is money, and then we need more money to continue the mission, you know, so it does become that cycle. But I love just seeing where you are in sort of your Edmund part of that cycle, and where non-doc is and kind of its overall cycle. This has been really lovely for me as the bill payer.
Yeah. And it's a walk of faith, right? Like since the beginning, since mm-hmm. we launched in my living room in the news parlor, mm-hmm. Fall 2015, mm-hmm. right? Like we always felt if you do, you know, you have to do good work and then support will follow. If you're only focused on support, or you're trying to, you know, you spend too much time bragging or hyping yourself or whatever, the work has to, which also puts pressure on us, right? To like keep the work, you know, going, but it is a walk of faith where you're thinking, okay, we're going to start, we go back to that origin story for the Edmund Civic Reporting Project, and we're having that conversation outside the Edmund mayoral debate. We haven't which is a huge event, mm-hmm. right? Which we weren't able to do last time because some candidate wouldn't participate. the one who didn't win. We're talking about like, okay, this matters, right? There's mm-hmm. an important election, and but for our ability to sort of highlight that. And also, Edmund's mayor is elected every 2 years because the rules in this town are bananas.
Insane. Yeah.
That's another.
They can't trust anybody, I guess.
Yeah. Like if there's three candidates and the one candidate gets 80% of the vote, it still goes to a runoff with who gets the second amount, which resulted in a deceased individual, former mayor, being on a ballot that he was, you know, not around to cast. Anyway. So it's just an interesting, you know, you have to play within the rules, right? We cover a lot of tribal elections and the rules in tribal governments vary wildly. So, you know, you have to figure out what is the local electoral landscape? How do you cover that? But it's that walk of faith that, okay, if we do these things, then, you know, donations, support will come in. And like I always like to say, Tara, somebody's not going to be a donor unless they're first a reader. So take us back to kind of your, you know, thoughts about our Edmund project in particular, Tara.
So, I mean, I think Edmund in particular, we have seen a very large increase in Edmund donors. Just if you look at the numbers, one thing we're trying to do, gather addresses. We don't always have your address, so we don't know where you currently are. Check with us, by the way, if you are a donor. I love to make sure we have your address. But one of the first things...
Tara@nondoc.com.
T-A-R-A.
One of the first things that I wanted to do is really dig into those numbers and see where are our donors currently and track our growth. So we have made a lot of progress just since January in new Edmund donors. I think that we have, since January 1st, I think that we've had probably 15 brand new donors to non-doc. And then we've also had just an increase in recurring donors, like we already mentioned. So I think tracking those numbers, seeing that growth, turning current readers into donors, and then gathering more readers, we're really meeting the goals of both short-term and long-term fundraising in that way.
Yeah, and we know people have individual circumstances that, you know, they have to cancel that YouTube subscription, and they also have to cancel their non-doc subscription.
Of course,
we get that. And we, you know, if somebody cancels, we usually try to reach out and mail them some stickers or something like that to, you know, just mm-hmm. appreciate the fact that they've, you know, donated over a period of time to us. So,
but you can still help, even if you are not making a financial donation. If you are subscribed to one of the newsletters, if you're subscribed to direct text, if you're sharing the stories on social media directly, you know, by email, anyway, that still is a way to show the, you know, broader base of our readership, and that we are a product that is important to the people of Edmond. So it's, that's not the only way you can help, is a financial contribution.
At the same time, right now, through, you know, in, we have a goal of $20,000 to have raised this at the start of this year for the Edmond Civic Reporting Project. It's being matched dollar for dollar up to $20,000 by the Kirkpatrick Foundation. Really thankful for their support for that opportunity. They're very hands-off with just supporting this effort, understanding that community journalism is really important. So we've got, you said, about $3,500 to go.
Yep,
people,
that's it.
People can go to nondoc.com, N-O-N-D-O-C.com, click on the donate button, or our Writers Fund page is what we call it, and you know, help us hit that full match. We don't want to leave any money on the table by the reporting deadline for that grant. Any final thoughts? We've just hit our 15-minute mark. Final thoughts on the donations?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you to all who have read. I mean, I think it's a privilege to tell Edmond's story in so many ways. And so thank you all for allowing me to do that, and through your donations and your support. I mean, I think about like a basketball player who wakes up every morning and takes 1,000 jump shots. And that's hard to do every morning. You know, it's hard to motivate yourself to get up and really put in the groundwork. But then after 2 years, you know, your jump shot's a little bit better, and you're able to kind of see you're reaping what you've sowed in that way. And I think we're kind of seeing that with the Edmond Civic Reporting Project, is that our work 2 years down the line is showing. And so I really appreciate all who's helped and supported. And yeah.
Important question. How is your jump shot, Joe?
Oh, probably horrible right now. Yeah. Probably horrible right now.
So. I think we need to play one-on-one. I got a little, you probably have better stamina than I do at this, you know, age of my life. I'm taller.
You're going to look like Chet Holmgren compared
100%.
To me. 100%.
I'm gonna roll an ankle, and then we're all going to be mad, and then we're going to go home. All right. So it's time now for our favorite segment of the podcast, where we thank our sponsors. We call it Pod Nods. Mm-hmm. We used to call it Donor Relations.
Yes.
We changed that.
That was a bad idea.
It was not. We had like a sexy voice and sexy music.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that again.
Anyway, so now we call it Pod Nods. And Angela is going to read off sponsor names, our charitable sponsors, our organizations that support us at various financial levels. We're super thankful for them, and it means that they, you know, generally support access to information, public dialogue, conversations. We're going to start a timer, 30 seconds, to thank our sponsors. Ready?
Yes.
Go.
In alphabetical order, I love you all. 46 Capital Services, Oklahoma, AARP, Care Providers, Oklahoma, Cornerstone CGA Group, CSS Partners, LLC, Firefighters Local 157, Fowler Automotive, Guiding Right, Inc., Greater OKC Chamber, Hillary Communications, Home Creations, MMR, McSpadden, Milner, and Rott, Oklahoma Association of Realtors, Oklahoma Energy Resource Board, Oklahoma Hospital Association, Oklahoma Public School Resource Center, Oklahoma State Medical Association, Overman Legal Group, Petroleum Alliance of Oklahoma, Phillips Theological Seminary, PSO, AEP, and the State Chamber of Oklahoma.
That was a firm 45 seconds. That's great. I think the challenge is that next time we do a podcast, we want to have a full minute's worth of sponsors.
Yes, a minute
so
worth of sponsors.
We need 15 seconds worth of additional sponsors. I think we can, you know, have a few $1,000s out of that to support our Edmond Civic Reporting Project. Reach out to us, even if it's only $100, $500 that your budget works. We will make sure that you get included in our Edmond email, our Twitter, all the things we can do to promote the fact that you support independent journalism.
Feel free to reach out to me, Angela, at nondoc.com, A-N-G-E-L-A, at nondoc.com.
So it's time for our final question, which is very self-referential this time. Mm. And it's about this podcast, which is called Live from the News Dungeon. Now, Bryce, this is the second iteration of our podcast. Our original podcast name was
How We Got Here.
How We Got Here, which looked back at state political issues and connected them with the modern issues of the day. And we changed that. We rebranded to Live from the News Dungeon because we officed in the News Dungeon, which was a place that we were graciously able to rent from Oklahoma property investors. And we finally had to get out of the dungeon. We had to get some windows. We were trying to recruit talented people like Tara to work for us. And we thought sunlight was mildly important.
She likes to have plants in the office.
It worked.
Yes.
Ironically, now Tara has a desk next to a glass door where the sun blares through and she has to put a cookie box. No, we actually got a curtain now, finally.
But, oh, that's good. That's nice.
We're in what we call the News Nest now, unofficially, in the Paseo Plunge building in Oklahoma City, 3010 Paseo. We're right above a donut shop. So if you come see us, grab some donuts, scarf a donut. And but I guess the big question is, what should be the name of this podcast moving forward? And I asked you each to think about this. Answer serious, joking. Who wants to start things off? I have my own thoughts.
Okay, well, I can start it off by saying I misunderstood the assignment. So I thought we were, so I guess I had heard that we'd already been saying the News Nest. So that's what I thought. We were just like, are we going with News Nest? Are we coming up with other, like, you know, News Dungeon adjacent?
So it would be live from the News Nest?
Yeah, live from the News Nest. Or the
except
news
for that this podcast is literally not from the News Nest.
Okay, we're literally,
and not live
we're
either.
We're literally in Edmond. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, I mean, but that was always the joke. None of the podcasts are actually live.
Right, right. So I think there's an argument to be made that it doesn't even have to be in the News Dungeon. You could make the argument that the News Dungeon is more of like a concept now. It's right. Like a, it's like an ephemeral,
it's a vibe,
mental boundary that we are in the dungeon. Where, you know. Now, we could also make it, we could go back in the history of Nondoc, and one of our early, you know, descriptions of what we did is we work in the turd mines. We're mining the news turds, you know, correct, of things that happen.
Live from the turd mines?
Live from the turd mines.
That is my job description at Nondoc Media.
Yes.
Yeah. Mining turds.
I don't know about that, but Tara, what are your thoughts?
No. Not veto on the turds.
Your thoughts are a big no.
You know, I'm okay with keeping some of our history and leaving it the
live from the news dungeon.
Proverbial dungeon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Forever.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a space. It's a community. The news dungeon is ever present.
I'm not sure how I feel about placing our listeners in a dungeon.
We're in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that it should be updated while honoring the past.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And I'm also not into brevity. So
no.
We call it the podcast formerly known as Live from the News Dungeon.
Yes. Or can we just on the branding cross out the word dungeon and put nest over it?
I like the dungeon.
Okay.
I mean, the dungeon, I think.
Podcast formerly known as.
I mean, to me, you know, having been through every iteration of this, because it even goes back further than how we got here, if you remember. The original origin of the podcast went before we did how we got here. It actually started as a series of
questions,
like
debates.
They were little debates that it was Trace. It
like
was me.
What is a monster?
It was Dr. Ashiq Zaman.
Dr. Ashiq Zaman.
What is a monster?
What is a monster?
Define
I remember you came and visited me when I was doing my retirement in the Ozarks of Arkansas.
Right.
And you came and visited me and asked me that question. I got so excited.
Yeah. We had a philosophical discussion of what was a monster. Or like, Joe, one of them was who would you pick to win in a fight? Floyd Mayweather versus two baboons.
That's right. Yes, that was a good one.
Two baboons. Yeah.
That was, what is your favorite bean?
Oh yeah.
What is the best bean?
I have seared into my memory Bryce going, Mr. Bean.
No, I said it was either Mr. or Sean.
Oh, right. And then I had a whole thing about how the English language makes no sense because it should either be Sean Bon or Seen Bean. Right.
Yeah, you did get really, you had a lot of feelings.
But you made a really good point with that because I had actually never thought of that.
Oh, that's my father's observation as a movie buff. Okay, so why don't you drop us a note in the comments if you're still with us. Let us know your thoughts as we prepare for our next episode of Live from the News Dungeon or the podcast previously known.
Formerly
known.
Famously.
famously known.
As,
so that's good.
Known worldwide as Live from the News Dungeon.
Wah, wah.
Live from the News Dungeon is a nondoc.com production in association with Flying Dutchman Productions. Produced and edited by Bryce Holland.